Casper.com. Whew, man, I can't say that website enough. You know why? Because they are the go-to place for incredible mattresses. Are you like me? Do you like to sleep? Yeah, you do, right? Do you like to sleep comfortably? Do you like to feel like that mattress is potentially a cloud that the Care Bears drive because it's the smoothest way to get around the skies? Yeah, man, that's what you feel like you're sleeping on when you get a Casper mattress. They are the online retailer for premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Look, the mattress industry, they inherently force you, the consumer, into paying notoriously high markups. Casper, you know what they're doing? They're revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly onto you, baby. A Casper mattress provides resilience. A Casper mattress provides resilience and long-lasting supportive comfort. Casper sent both Brad and I our own mattress, and I'm telling you, it's the fucking best, man. My sleep has improved 1,000%, and you know how I love saying that shit, all right? Brad and I, our sleep is so much better. We're waking up happier. I'm waking up taller. Brad's waking up stronger. It's the best. Now, what is this mattress all about? Well, it's a new hybrid mattress that combines premium latex foam with memory foam. Look, I don't know what the fuck that means, but I know it's something I want to sleep on because it's so comfortable, man. I'll tell you, with a Casper mattress, here's what you're getting. You're getting an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. You're getting just the right sink and just the right bounce. Two technologies. Some mattresses don't even have one technology. This motherfucker's got latex foam and memory foam. And guess what? They come together for better nights and brighter days. And it's a risk-free trial and return policy, all right? Try sleeping on a Casper mattress for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns. And if you don't like it, send it back. They make it easy. All these mattresses are made in America, USA. And guess what? You can get a twin-size mattress for $500. You can get a king-size mattress for $950. Comparing that to industry averages, I'm telling you, man, that's an outstanding price point. All right, so here's what you got to do. Go to Casper.com/ALN. Using the ALN keyword, get $50 off towards any mattress purchase at Casper.com. That's right. So go to Casper.com/ALN, put in the ALN keyword, get $50 off your mattress, and start your journey to a better sleep. But what's the website again? That's Casper.com. Casper.com/ALN. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. All right. Hey, creepy lady, I don't know how you got in here, but get the fuck out. But yo, what better slogan do you need for a place that is nonstop fun? Have you been to Vegas recently? Actually, I should ask, have you ever even been to Vegas? Well, guess what? If your answer to that question is no, I got the quick and easy answer. Vegas.com. Use Vegas.com and guess what? Your summer vacation is just one click away. You got to do this and take advantage of the warm weather in Vegas, the awesome pools, the parties at these pools that happen every day with top name DJs, the amazing bikinis. Oh my goodness, fellas, the women in Vegas, the boobs, the butts, you're all going to love it. It's everything you can want. And if you don't want to party, you can still chill at the pool and relax and sunbathe. It's all affordable, it's all for you, and it's all Vegas at Vegas.com. Look, listeners have already saved real money using Vegas.com with this exclusive offer. Example, $84 off at the Bellagio, $90 off at Caesars, and $100 off Cirque du Soleil. When you use Vegas.com, you get 10% off everything, excluding air hotel packages. Now look, Vegas.com, I'm telling you, it's the only way to book your Vegas vacation, because everyone who works at Vegas.com, unlike other travel sites, these guys live in Vegas. They work in Vegas and they party in Vegas. Vegas.com's proprietary Dropwatch tool promises the lowest rates on hotels. Now, what's a Dropwatch tool? All right, that baby monitors prices and notifies you of any changes to ensure that you get the best deal. All right, you get the best price guaranteed, even after you've paid. What other site's doing that? Vegas.com offers the best rates on not just hotels, but also shows, tours, and attractions. Also the best restaurants and VIP bottle service at the top clubs. And with the Vegas.com app, you've got everything Vegas in the palm of your hand all day, all night. So now you'll never be wondering, what now? Because the Vegas.com app helps you find cheap drinks, all-night parties, and the best deals for shows. It's everything Vegas in your phone, except for all the ads for escorts. Now, as soon as I'm done reading this ad, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to Vegas.com right now, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and enter my code ALN to receive an extra 10% off everything but air hotel packages. That's Vegas.com. Click on the microphone and get your bonus savings by using the secret code ALN and book your Vegas vacation today, baby.
Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray and Brad Williams for the About Last Night podcast.
That's right. I'm not on every intro, but I'm on this intro. I'm kind of like herpes. Just when you think, he's gone. I'm living the simple life. I can go ride bikes on a mountainside, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm back.
Wow, I feel like we just did a free ad for herpes.
or
Valtrex.
Well, you know what? You're right, Adam, because herpes has gotten a lot of negative press lately, and now, as our listeners have been hearing, we've been doing ads on the podcast, so why not do an ad for herpes? Hey, everybody, this is Brad Williams.
I gotta stop you.
Whatever. great podcast today.
Wait, I just love the genuine disappointment in your voice. And you go, really, man?
All right, fine. If you don't want to do an ad for herpes, I guess, you know.
All the cool kids are doing it. Speaking of herpes,
I'm pretty sure
our guest today.
Oh God!
No, does not have them.
He would kill us.
Does not have them.
Yeah,
he's the cleanest.
he's the cleanest penis this side of Texas. It sounds like the adult form.
The cleanest penis.
like you know, what is it? I think it's at Disneyland on Thunder Mountain where he goes like, "Now hang on to them hats and glasses. This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness." So get ready for Tone Bell in the About Last Night podcast. He's the cleanest penis this side of Texas. Comes to us from Texas, too.
Tone Bell is our guest today. Tone Bell has a smooth-ass fucking beard.
Yeah, he does.
He's a good-looking dude. He's a hilarious dude. You might recognize him from NBC's Whitney, from the late show with Craig Ferguson, from Chelsea Lately.
He's one of those guys where even if you hear the name Tone Bell, you go, wait, who's that? And then you see his face, you go, holy crap, that guy's been in like everything.
Oh, yeah, wasn't he one of the stars of Bad Judge on NBC with Kate Walsh? Oh, yeah, right? Isn't he starring in the upcoming hit NBC sitcom with Mark Paul Gosselaar, a.k.a. Zach Morris? People are talking, coming to NBC this fall with Mark Paul Gosselaar and our man Tone Bell. This was a great episode because... again, some of the stories of where people come from, really, you forget that, like, we all just didn't start doing comedy. Like, that people had jobs before they got into this.
Yeah. Tone Bell, our man, did sales for Anheuser-Busch.
Holy shit, for a long time.
Yeah.
And crushed it. And you would think, like, why would you leave that job for the uncertainty and the sadness of the comedy life?
Way to sell our job there, Adam.
Fuck you. They know what it does to us. But Tone, man, made the transition smooth like his beard. That's drink two if you're playing the how many times will Adam compliment a black man's beard drinking game.
Do we have that video game? Sure, why not?
And just the tenacity, the Tone tenacity that he has to basically just leave a career behind, start new, late, you know, with stand-up, kind of like me where it was like mid-20s.
Sure.
Whereas that's relatively late because you think most people start...
I started at 19,
So, because you just feel like that's the time either in college or, you know, they leave college.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he just made the transition, and what I really loved about talking to Tone was it's not just being hilarious and being a good guy, but the attention to detail he has with the people he meets, with
Absolutely.
The casting directors he reads for, with the execs that he becomes friends with.
Yes. He doesn't just meet people and then I'm going to talk to you for this moment where I need you to give me a job. He meets people and genuinely becomes friends with them, becomes interested in their life, in their stories, and is excellent networking. And you definitely hear that here in the podcast. And you can apply that skill, not just to show business, but to any job that you're in.
Or if you're like at Subway and you're like, hey man, I want avocado, but I don't have the extra money that Subway requires you to get that on the sandwich. But guess what? You strike up a nice conversation with Alfredo behind the booth, and he goes...
Italian or Mexican? Generic.
Let me give you the accent.
Hey, it's me, Alfredo.
Persian.
You got it.
Okay.
So you know, you strike up a good rapport, and then he gives you free avocado. Tone does that in every aspect of his life, not because he has to, because he wants to, because he's a good dude, he likes people, and that mindset, you know, it's not an easy one to apply because we all just are so result-oriented, and we're impatient. You want shit to happen. You think you got to just... But hey, man, just be a cool fucking dude and things will happen when they're supposed to happen. You can see Tone's half-hour Comedy Central special coming out next fall. You can see him on your TV this fall on NBC with Mark Paul Gosselaar and People Are Talking. But for now, follow him on Twitter at Tone Bell. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. Tomorrow night, I will be at the Ha Ha Comedy Club at 8:30. doing a bunch of new material. Come out and see me there. And Wednesday, I will be, holy shit, I can't believe I'm on this show. One of my best friends, Kaylee Smith, put together this TV show competition called Series Fest. You can check it out at seriesfest.com. And the opening night is Thursday in Denver, where the festival is taking place. And the opening night is at Red Rocks Amphitheater, where giant musical acts perform. Dave Matthews Band, Pearl Jam, Aerosmith, U2. It's just an incredible venue, man-made. I'm performing, opening for Whitney Cummings, and then John Legend is performing after that. If you want tickets to the event, go to seriesfest.com. I think they're still available at Red Rocks, June 18th in Denver, Colorado. And then, of course, Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm coming to you guys, the new Laugh Factory in Scottsdale, Arizona, June 25th through the 28th. Get your tickets at laughfactory.com. And then I'm coming home, baby. Parlor Live, Bellevue, Washington, July 9th through the 11th. A bunch of new material. Really pumped for these shows. Come out and see me. Parlor Live, July 9th through the 11th. Get your tickets at parlorlive.com. Oh, and I'm also going to be on the Adam Carolla Show on June 23rd, promoting all these shows and just, you know, having some good laughs because Adam Carolla's the fucking man. So check out all those dates at AdamRayTV.com and come see me. Brad Williams, well, he's on the road, of course. He is in this weekend, Syracuse, baby. Syracuse, New York. Brad's at the Funny Bone June 18th through the 21st. Get your tickets at FunnyBone.com. July 2nd, Brad is at the Observatory Theater in San Diego, California, July 2nd at 8 o'clock. Go see him in San Diego. And then July 3rd, the About Last Night crew is at the Irvine Improv for two shows, 7:30 and 9:45. Irvine Improv, July 3rd in Irvine, California. Two shows, July 3rd, 7:30 and 9:45. Get your tickets at improv.com. Take charge of your comedy needs like Scott Baio from Charles in Charge.
You know what else is in charge, Adam Ray? Roni and the Quave t-shirts at estoymerchandise.com.
That's right.
Support us at the podcast. Go to estoymerchandise.com. We got Roni and the Quave shirts. We got About Last Night t-shirts. We got shirts that have me
and a baby Bjorn riding
on Adam like we're in the scene from the Titanic.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn sexy.
Yeah, I got one of those. It's an incredible shirt. Wear it to the podcast. Wear it in your everyday life. Bring it to the shows. Have us sign them. Show your support for the podcast. And go subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You probably already are, but tell your friends, tell your family, tell them to subscribe on iTunes, give it a 5-star rating, and take 2 seconds and comment on the iTunes page. That helps us climb the charts. Just write something like, you guys are sweet. You guys, even if you write, you guys are fucking, you know, have a bomb-ass summer, or write like, hey, today I shat my pants. Just you commenting on our iTunes page helps us climb the charts in a positive way.
Shitting your pants will help the podcast.
Will help the podcast.
So do it.
And of course, tell all your friends you can get past episodes at aboutlastnightpodcast.com. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, that's all the merch info. Those are the Twitter handles. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a very special, hilarious episode of the About Last Night podcast with the best beard in comedy,
Mr. Tone Bell.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
Now, is that your move right before you put on the, what would be your go-to baby-making music? I just had this conversation with somebody the other day, and it made me actually really curious about what everybody, because you don't think about it when you're doing it.
Sex or like trying to actually make a baby, or just like, or just.
Well, that's a very adult response, Tone Bell.
Wow. Well, something, because like, do I respect her? Or like,
but you know what? That's also.
I mean, that's the difference between Two Live Crew and
something
a little more.
I'd play probably like some. I don't know, like some old school, like probably like Marvin Gaye-ish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To make the baby.
Like, yeah, if I liked her, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like some, you know, Curtis Mayfield, something like that.
Wait, if you didn't like you and you're making the baby.
The Weeknd. Because he starts on one of the songs, I left my girl back home. I mean, like, yikes. If I didn't.
So the song needs to be a little reminiscent, needs to drop tiny, like, subliminal hints about what's happening.
Hey, this is not a real thing.
What if it's just a
Shaggy, It Wasn't Me?
No,
it wasn't me.
Well, no, it's that beat, but it's Tone just rapping about what's happening with the girl and what's going to happen after. So it's Tone.
Wait,
tonight.
Is that your voice? Look, you're really not into this right now.
just listen to the beat and pay attention to the words, like here and there.
It's brainwashing. So as soon as I'm done, our pants go on.
Yo, girl, this is a one-time thing. Don't get too attached.
Your keys are at the door. Your keys are at the door.
I'll call you an Uber. I'll call you a cab. I got a lot of DVR to catch up on. If you could get the hell out when we're done.
Ooh. No spooning. No spooning. No spooning tonight.
Oh, God.
Don't tell your friends about me.
Well, but you're right. There absolutely is a difference.
Yeah.
You better not tweet a pic of my apartment.
Forget my address. Oh,
subliminal messages, and she
You know what I gotta get? I'm even though, like, I'm not really back out there yet, but like I gotta like I'm jealous now. Every time I go to a buddy's house, or just anybody's house, you know, like they don't I don't have a number code
like I just gave you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a there's an extra level of security there.
It
but
is.
Also, when you then walk around your apartment, as I do in the mornings and the evenings, any time of day, really, I'll walk around this apartment. You saw there was a nice little...
I think it's an option.
You saw there was a nice little gazebo and a pool.
It's a nice pool.
Thanks, man. There's
you're taking credit for the pool. It's incredible.
Well,
for 6 weeks to build it, man.
There's an old Russian guy that swims there every morning at 8:30.
Really?
And when I have to wake up to move my car, that's the one shitty thing, man, because parking, my roommate has the one spot because he's here longer, and so parking every Monday and Tuesday, I'll come home late from shows, and there'll be a lot of spots open like today, today, Tuesday, there would be, Tuesday the side would be all open, because knowing that like last night if I were to park there, people wouldn't want to have to get up at 8 and move their car.
Yeah.
So I'll have to get up and do that, and this Russian guy's in there swimming. And sometimes I will get up, move my car, and then just stay up. And then sometimes I'll go move my car and go back to bed for a couple hours.
Because
it's fucking 8 a.m.
Right.
And I was up late, and I'm not a morning person. But I see this guy swimming, and I'm always like, I always kind of want to throw something in the pool just to be like, fuck you, man. Because it's like...
He's so disciplined.
Yeah.
I don't like that discipline.
I'm walking past his discipline
Look
to
at you
move my
doing
car.
Stuff with your life.
Yeah, and then walking back in, he's still swimming laps and...
It's like, oh man, it's probably angelic too. I mean, is it like, does he just like go straight back, or does he do laps?
His laps are perfect, man.
Damn,
they're great laps.
He's not, he's not just like having a Bloody Mary like sitting in the pool.
No,
no.
Dude, he's working.
There's a purpose for him being
when
out
I
there.
When I go, so I live in the valley, and there's I don't have to move. I could leave my car there for 6 months on the street if I wanted to.
That's I need that.
And I do have a parking space, but because I have options, sometimes I just leave it on the street. I have it doesn't matter. But I like to recycle, so every now and then I have to run down. They got me, man. California got me.
Wait, Dallas isn't a recycle?
It's not a big I mean, you can, but you really have to try.
And people aren't pushing it. And you go to somebody's house.
You feel bad if you don't recycle here.
Yeah, because you got, like, I think every neighborhood has that person, and I think they hire them, that literally just stands on the corner and gives you dirty looks.
If you don't.
Yeah, if you, like, put something in the wrong bin.
Yeah.
You know, and
you're talking about homeless people.
Yeah, pretty much.
Goes, give me those cans. It's basically...
Yeah.
And quite honestly, you joke about the bums searching for cans.
They're like garden spiders.
We need this on, like, a nature show. Like... And you think that the human waste would just go for naught, but no.
The old garden spider climb into the dumpster and search for the leftover
spider,
potato
say, like,
salad bin.
Like, leave the garden spiders in the corner because like, it kills the rest of the bugs and the like flies and shit.
Yeah.
And so, like,
that's what you tell the women that come to your apartment?
You.
That's what, that dude, baby, the spider web's in the corner.
I like how you just do my voices.
It's always great. Anytime
I go full racist. I go zero to full racist
in
2 seconds.
This is doing my voice. Hey, baby.
Sitcom black guy.
Obviously doing Eddie Murphy in every movie. Like,
how is that when you hear a white guy either tell a story involves a black person or they're doing an impression of a buddy?
As long as they're comic or somewhat funny, it's always funny.
Oh,
but like,
God,
but you know, like, you know what's really funny? It's like when it's first not like someone who's not funny at all, like this is a corporate dude.
Oh yeah.
Or just like somebody who just wants to tell a story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no idea. You're like, hey man, I at least try.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like you know as comics, like comics do it for comedic effect.
I'm selling a visual.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put a voice to it.
Right.
And like, yeah, comedic effect. But like when you just see a dude fucking works at Avis. So I had this customer the other day. He's like, man, what happened to my keys? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And he'll do some weird inflection that you're like, dude, no black guy has that inflection.
He did not talk like that.
Yeah, trying to do like a bad John Witherspoon impression.
But then right then that dude comes back and he's like, man, hey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, she did talk like that.
That was spot on, man. Yeah.
Kudos to you, good sir.
I underestimated Avis, which is the name of my next album. So you came out to L.A. in 2011. Wow.
That's recent. You haven't been
Tone Bell.
That.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah, man.
How many people have that response when they look at your resume and sweet smile and
pretty,
well-groomed
pretty
beard?
This is actually, this is me trying not to shave. So thank you.
For real?
Yeah.
From the day I met you, I was like, God damn, that's a well-groomed beard.
I appreciate that.
And man, I respect men's facial hair because nobody can grow it faster than me.
When I see you, I'm always impressed. Like, you probably shaved this morning.
When am I working? Yeah, no, last night.
Last night?
Yeah.
Somebody asked me, I was doing a show, and they're like, would you shave for the show? And I'm like, only season finale or something. Because if I shave, it takes me months to grow back. I cannot.
Okay.
I mean, the bottom that's longer.
That's what I think about it too. Yeah.
But the cheeks, two and a half months.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
It does not grow as fast as it should.
You committed to that thing.
Oh, yeah. It was like, well, I was like, so I got out here August. Late July of 2011.
From Dallas.
But I had a corporate gig that I let go of and I got let go of from a layoff, like corporate layoff, whatever. And so it was like, they have a promotion for you. Do you want to take this layoff? And so I was like, I think I'll take the layoff. I think my comedy career is going all right. I was starting to go on the road a little bit.
Okay.
And I was like, I think I can make it with unemployment in like a date or two a month. And I was like, starting to get some colleges. I was like, I think I can make something happen. Mm-hmm. And so
What was the corporate gig?
I was in marketing and sales for Anheuser-Busch.
Wow.
So, dude, I had a company car. Fucking, like, I had a credit card. Like, I was.
No, dude, shit. There's so many comics I keep hearing about. Like, Amir, too, who was crushing it in real estate.
Yeah.
A real job where it was like.
Fahim was an architect.
Yeah, doing well.
And guys that are really charming and personable that you're like, oh, yeah, no, obviously you were crushing in that job.
Well, you know, like, when I got to sales, that's when I couldn't keep up because I was like, I couldn't keep up.
The people interaction.
Yeah, I couldn't lie to people.
Wow.
I mean, like, to be the best salesman, you have to fucking lie to people.
Yeah.
You got to be a grimy dude. So, and I was like, my last client, I worked for Anheuser-Busch, and my last client was like 7-Eleven, which is like the biggest convenience store in the fucking world.
Sure. It is, right?
And I'm like, so I'm selling beer, and these guys are like, will it sell? And I don't know, the product's bullshit. I'm like, it's not going to sell. And so, but most of them are owned by people who are not from this country. You know?
Oh, dude.
And so, like,
you're taking advantage of left and right.
It's like, man, it's like they're like, all right, but, you know, my family eats on this.
Right. Is that why you see so many fucked up weird products in 7-Eleven? Because they're just getting pushed?
Some dude just sells it in, and then they have to try to push it and put it on the counter. You can't even get to some shit because it's like in caps and shit hanging off the sides of it. You try to reach for something, you knock down 12 bags of chips because you're trying to reach for a fucking can of Pringles.
Jeez, Pringles. Yeah, but it's probably called Prongles. It's like a different kind of chip that they were like, trust me, this is the new
wavy
Pringles.
But you were working, like, you weren't doing some upstart. You were working for Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
How hard is it to sell Budweiser?
Well, but, like, all the new brands that come, like, when they sell, like, Lime-A-Rita. And you're like, nobody wants this shit.
It's amazing the amount.
By the way, if people from the Anheuser-Busch company are listening to this podcast,
we love Lime-A-Ritas.
And the Mango-Rita.
Yeah.
And
Strawberry.
Strawberry-Rita.
Root-Beer-Rita. I will say this.
Like, oh, God, make a Root-Beer-Rita.
We all thought that Bud Light Lime, because it came out when I was working. We all thought it was going like, oh, this will never work. And it's one of the best products that ever came out.
I love it.
I fucking love it.
So do I. I'll say that on record. And guess what, Bud Light Lime? And any girls who are judging me because they might think that it sounds like a less than manly beer.
I own it.
Case of it?
I also wear Lady Speed still. I have no problem putting that out there.
I think you were looking for an excuse to tell us that, because we were not on that tangent at all. He's like, by the way.
You thought beer was as close as we'd get.
Back to my career.
You thought beer was as close as we'd get to a conversation that would allow you to reveal that fact.
So there's so,
anyway,
about yeah, so there's so much great sports going on. I wear Lady Speed Stick.
Well,
okay. Now, your first black voice, Brad, was pretty good. That was a combination.
That was the black voice. That was just me yelling.
Okay.
That was a mix. That was an Eric Andre. That was a mixed voice.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I didn't full
that
commit.
Was a mixed voice.
Yeah.
What did you? So you started comedy in Dallas.
Mixed voice.
Yeah. pure white, but mixed voice.
See, that would be a whole other like version.
What voice is that? Well, mom is definitely white. Dad is.
That's maybe what The Voice should start doing. They just bring out really unidentifiable, like...
you have no idea.
You know, and well, have them...
What do you think that is? I don't want to take the chance of guessing.
Oh, that would be one of the most uncomfortable game shows ever. Name that race.
What do you think that is?
We're gay. What do you think that is? God, why? You know what, though? With every show that's out, like, somebody just introduced me to the show called Dating Naked. You know what it is?
Yeah, I watch the other Naked show, especially when I'm, like, in a hotel.
Is that, like, surviving?
So, yeah. Surviving nude.
Okay.
The fact that that's there is crazy.
Yeah. Right.
The fact that there was a show with, you know, not anymore, but the 19 and counting, where that was...
That was a thing.
So it's like, why shouldn't there
show
just
called,
be...
Yeah, there was a show called Sex Box.
What's that?
You know about Sex Box?
Sex Box?
Sex Box was where couples would go on and they would go into a box that had no cameras and no like sound, and they would have sex. And then they would have like sex experts like watch them and listen to them, and then they would like critique their relationship and like essentially do a therapy session.
You can't be an expert on that.
Sex Box. You sure it's just not
it's
a bunch of...
It's impossible to be an expert on that. Go have sex in a dark...
This guy studies people fucking in a box for a living.
Yeah, I want you to go fuck in a safe room, and then when you come out...
Sex Box also sounds like that one perverted seventh grader that like had a bunch of condoms, and he put them in the same box he made his second grade diorama in, and he's like, now I fuck a lot, and this is my sex box. And you're like, dude, you don't fuck.
You don't
fuck.
He's
like, all right, well, I got the condoms. I'm ready to.
But he sold the show. That kid sold a show.
He sold a show. So you started stand-up in Dallas.
Started stand-up
at
in
what
Dallas.
Age?
I started at 25.
I was late too.
Yeah, it was funny. Like it's like most people don't even know what they're doing with their lives at 25. But no. Like to start maybe you have a degree at something.
Yeah.
But like to start at 25, like, and when you start, you're like, oh, I'm late. I'm late starting at.
You were well aware that you were like. Yeah. Oh, most people.
Yeah.
Started.
I was like, oh shit. I was like, because the guys who I was working with, you know, like the guys who were my age had been doing it for 6 years already.
Right.
I mean, either they decided to drop out of college, didn't go to college, mm-hmm. or they were fresh out and they're like, I don't know what I'm doing. So the summer of, they start stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And so.
What drew you to it?
I moved to Dallas because I'm from Atlanta originally.
Okay. Right.
So I'm from Atlanta. I moved to Dallas and I lived downtown. The only thing I knew how to do was like meet chicks at bars. And I was like,
that's a good skill
set. I was like, yeah, I was pretty good at that.
Did you have good game?
Yeah, but I don't have good game, but that's my best game though, because I don't have good game. And so I was like, I'm pretty non-threatening. Yeah, I mean, chicks are like, oh, that dude's a player.
Yeah.
But once I don't have like the game to follow up, they're like, oh, he's harmless. And then
it's on.
I'm like, the weekend comes on.
And then you're like, yeah.
and then you're playing Girl. Your subliminal message song.
This ain't gonna go nowhere.
The keys are at the... Your Uber is on its way.
Your Uber is on its way.
Yeah, that was like a little Aaron Neville in that one.
Yeah, man.
That's a slightly Aaron Neville.
I didn't know. I was like... Plus, I didn't know anybody there. I had a cousin that lived like 20 miles, 25 miles from me. So I was like, all right, I need a hobby. I did theater in college, but I didn't want to work with other people. I really didn't. I was like, I want to perform and I want to be creative, but I don't want to need other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, how can I be creative and still?
And had you been watching stand up, or did somebody say?
You know what it was? Well, like when Stand Up Month was in January on Comedy Central.
So they just did a bunch of new specials, and like they did a new season of Premium Blend or something.
Yep. And they just ran marathons of just stand-up.
Yeah.
You know, that's when before like they had a lot of.
They don't do that anymore.
Not a lot.
What a bummer! Because that was also how I at least started to really get introduced to knowing that there was more comics, because otherwise we didn't have the internet. So it's like, how am I? You know,
Facebook was just kind of a thing.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
people weren't posting clips.
No.
Yeah. I didn't get on Facebook till like 2010. But like, but MySpace had phased out. Facebook was kind of coming in. But like, there was no other way to really know who like comics who you fall in love with, and you're like, damn, that dude is funny, but nobody else knows.
Yeah. But I guess they don't really need Comedy Central doesn't need to do that now, because there are just so like
apps.
I mean, yeah, and the clips.
I watched you on an app recently.
What?
I watched something from I guess when we were in New Orleans.
The Adam Devine thing?
Yeah, it was Devine stuff. Oh, when we were down there last year.
Oh, yes, yeah. That was awesome.
So 2000, I was like, man, let me just go to this club. And I think most people have the same story, where like the first time you have that nervous energy, and I'm like, it went great. And then I was like, oh shit, I'm a natural.
Now, were you a funny dude like prior to that? So it didn't surprise you?
I'm not that dude who's like, who's going to stand out in the room, but if if it's long enough, yeah. like if it's five dudes and you have that one dude that's just hilarious, right, yeah. off the top,
yeah,
like eventually, I'm gonna be the guy you want to hear from,
right?
You know, especially around like civilians, you know what I mean? Before yeah. I started, but yeah. And I was like, I wasn't like the class clown, but I would have that dig that'd be like, oh, that's memorable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
But
get a lot of memorable moments. That, yeah. Yeah. And that's what you want to be.
I didn't do a lot of time. I didn't have a long set in class, but some punchlines that were in the car. You're gonna be like, man, that dude was funny.
But when you start off, that's all you can do because yeah. you're not gonna be given 10 minutes and 15 minutes. Yep. You're supposed to be getting 3 minutes.
Also, I knew what I didn't want to do was like I knew I didn't want to do dick jokes up front.
And didn't want to.
Yeah. So like when I first started, I was like, all right, I'm gonna try to do my best not to do dirty stuff.
That was smart.
And still now I don't do dirty stuff. But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
But I do. The first joke I did was like. It was a Lord of the Rings joke about how I wanted to be in movies but not an actor, and like I just want to pop up in movies that I don't belong in, like
as Tone Bell.
As Tone Bell, yeah. And, like, I wanted to be like I'm like smoking a cigarette at the top of a mountain with like wearing a bubble coat and Tim's, and then I see Frodo and Sam. And I'm like, yo, man, heard about this ring, man.
Just a couple lines, right?
You know
and then
mean?
You're
like,
out.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, yeah? What'd you hear? And you go, good luck, man.
How'd you hear about the ring? I'm like, yo, Gandalf is the homie. So it was like, it was, you know. Then I tried again next week, and it bombed like
of course.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And then it's a struggle to find out, like, wait, why did that work the first yep. time?
And
why
by number three, by the third time, you're addicted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you went to college in Georgia.
Went to college in Savannah, yeah.
yeah.
So got out of college in 2000, kind of moved around. I did a little time in Miami, New Orleans, San Francisco, and then back to Atlanta
wow.
briefly. And
then doing what in all those places?
A couple jobs, okay. And then... my very first job with Anheuser-Busch took me to Miami and New Orleans. Traveled a lot, but like mostly those two cities.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then I got a promotion, moved me to Dallas. I was there for like almost five and a half. And then when that layoff came, actually I dodged like four layoffs because I was black. Like they can't just like they
no shit.
There's no other reason.
Affirmative action is strong, huh?
Well, every company like it's yeah. like if we like. There's definitely somebody more after, especially after I discovered stand up. Like, there's definitely somebody who was more qualified that should have had that job,
mm-hmm.
but they're like, well, we need the numbers.
So, I'm okay with that.
I never heard that conversation, but I know it has to happen.
Of course,
you know. So like, but I was like, no, I'll take the severance, and I was like, I got a couple. I'm gonna have some money saved up, and so Mark Agee and I moved out here together in like late July. And
that's a big deal.
Yeah,
I talk about this every time. Like anyone who just gets up, because you know Brad from Fullerton, that's
yep.
close to LA.
Yeah,
I came down here for college. We both went to SC.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like I had something to bring me down here already. Like mm-hmm. same with Brad. So it's like, but you know, and if had I not gone here, I would have moved down after college. And that's I can't even imagine doing that. I mean, moving down here for school was a big deal.
Yeah.
But then like after school, like because I know people that have done it, and like yourself, and that's just. You knew Mark and who else?
I mean, well, okay, so I did 12 months of flying out here once a month
okay.
just to know the scene.
Yep.
And I had a friend who traveled a lot, so she gave me her car. I went to high school with her. She gave me her car when she was gone so I could get around. I go sit on the patio at the store. I go hang out at the factory. I had a couple buddies from Dallas that already moved out here.
Yeah,
right.
Raj Sharma.
Raj Sharma.
Raj moved out here.
Yeah.
A couple other guys that I would see on the road, like, you know, I would see Darren Carter, I would see Sebastian, and I'd pop in just so they go, oh, are you out here? And I'm like, yeah, I lied. Yeah, I'm out here, but I'm on the road a lot.
Of course.
That's all I go back.
You want to be a part of the community.
Yeah. Yeah. But how smart is that just to get in the scene? Like, you weren't necessarily yeah. even doing time, but you just wanted people to see you and start associating
yep.
seeing you with being a comedian.
Yep. And I the reason why I could come is because I had a friend who worked, her husband worked for American Airlines, and so... my job, I got a chance to get her paid. She was like a promo girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would get her time on Saturday and Sunday, so she'd make a couple hundred bucks. And then they would give me their flight privileges. So I would fly here first class.
Oh, shut
just
up.
To like, and I mean, like,
just to
stand
out.
By, stand by. But yeah, I would go to New York. I would come here mostly. I would go to New York a couple times. And so I was like, I need to let people see my face. And so the times I did get up, it worked.
But
that's crazy.
But yeah. So smart. And there's so many comics out here that Adam and I run into that are asking us for advice, and we tell them, hang out, just be seen, and they go,
almost more important
than
you said.
But I'm not getting paid. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I don't, it's like, no, that's, you're building something.
Hang out at the places that you want to eventually be performing at.
Yes.
Because it's like, obviously, like, you know, there's, and the Comedy Store is, you know, nice in the way that the multiple rooms they're getting, you know, they still bring your shows at some of those places. But, you know, work, like, do the comedy part at the places that you're, you know, you don't want to be going.
Somebody's not going to show up.
Yeah.
And you're going to be the guy that's in the room. They go, you know what? I've seen you enough and you're funny enough in conversation. Let me see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you come do 10? I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah. It's how Brad and I both started going on the road, was hanging out at, like, when I was at this, I started finally being at the store a lot and then started doing the phones. And then that's when I met Bobby and he saw me one night and goes, hey, I need a new opener.
Yeah.
And
now, meanwhile, the rest of your life is in shambles.
For sure. Well, now I'm also trying to think, how am I going to tell the rest of the X-Men at Universal Studios that I can't...
Were you a fucking X-Men?
I was Wolverine for 4 years.
I think I want to say I heard that.
Yeah, for sure you did. Because I used to, that was all my act was for the first 3 years. Because
it's what you knew and it was the weirdest thing
I was
doing.
It's what I was doing. I was working at Universal from 9 to 6 or 10 to 7 and then going to the Ha Ha for a couple shows, going to some weird coffee shop for 4 or 5 years. And then I was like, I got to start working at the store. But it was like having that just being around mentality that, and again, nobody tells you that. So it's great that you innately.
Like, you can't, unless you're. Unless you're fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. Like, there's like that guy who comes in, does a set, and leaves. You're like, you're never going to make it. I don't care what, like, unless you're doing five spots. If you're doing one spot and you go right before your spot and you do your spot and leave, if you're not the funniest dude that ever lived, there's no way that you can survive. Because one, I know nothing about you. I don't even want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then and then people aren't going to suggest to you when someone gets a TV show. They're not going to, you're not in that lexicon.
Who is he? Yeah. Nobody knows you.
No one knows. Now, to kind of backtrack a little bit, Adam played Wolverine, and I read somewhere, and I just want to know if this is true. I read somewhere...
You were Storm.
And not because... Because you're black, but I read somewhere that you were the mascot at your college.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
That's true.
Wow.
I was a mascot.
Holy shit.
Was it at Bayside High School? Were you the Tiger?
I was the Tiger.
What?
But it was not Bayside High School. I was Savannah State Tiger.
You're an actual Tiger.
I was an actual Tiger, yeah.
No shit.
Yep. Now, that's...
Like the full suit?
That is pretty ironic.
Wow.
It really is.
That is pretty ironic, yeah.
Now, did you already always have aspirations to be a mascot?
I did it in high school when I stopped playing ball. And
football or basketball?
Basketball.
Of
course. We didn't have a football team.
Now, I just needed to clarify. I knew what you meant because basketball is my main sport, and I've played with a lot of cool people and black dudes who say ball because a lot of white dudes say ball. They go basketball. Well, and that might sound
Florida,
racist, but that's a very distinct...
If you're like from Tennessee, Florida, Alabama, when you say ball, it means football.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, Georgia, North Carolina... Like
now, I say hoop a lot. Is that a white thing?
No, I say hoop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ball is cooler.
But do you say play hoop or just hoop?
Hoop.
Hoop, yeah.
I go, you want to hoop on Saturday?
Yeah.
Hoop is a verb. Okay.
You want to play ball? Yeah. but if you were to ask me...
I had to do, like, the white thing, like, come in. I believe he's using that as a verb.
Brad is the white old man moderator of racist
lingo. Just as long as you don't... you could use hoop as a verb as long as you don't end it with a participle.
Yeah. Yo, you are the Chuck Woolery of racist lingo.
And we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Hoop is a verb. I want that audio. So,
when you're the mascot, does anyone fuck with you or something?
No. It was so the high school one, like there wasn't a real, like, we were the Warriors in high school, and they didn't have like a real mascot, so they just went. Because I was a mascot so I could travel with the girls' basketball team.
Brilliant.
That's no bullshit.
I'm just
brilliant.
Yeah.
Give it up for
so
well done.
You know that while we're on this bus, it ain't going to stay on this bus.
There was no real costume, so they just made this shit up. It was like feet and a head, and they were like, "Can you put on a jumpsuit?" It was like a tracksuit. Remember the nylon tracksuit? It was not a real. I could dunk, though. I could dunk.
Holy shit.
There you go.
I could dunk. 5'10", son. I could dunk.
God damn. What is that like, man? Because I could dunk on the 7, 8, and 9 foot hoops.
It felt good. Dunk in a game once, I think, almost twice.
Fuck.
But
you'll never forget that, by the way.
No. It was off the backboard, and I just one hand. came up.
I got dunked on in a high school basketball game, and I'll never forget that. So I can't imagine what it's like to be on the guy who's delivering.
And I'll never forget the first time my dad brought home that little Tykes hoop. When I was,
what was it like dunking a Fisher Price?
When
that's
I was
2 weeks ago,
when I was 18 years old, was the first time I dunked.
That's that. You know, what I just felt, for the first time how old white guys feel when they realize, like, damn, that might have felt racist. Like I was talking about dunking, and you're like, I don't know what that's like, and I'm like,
you're like, all right, there's a dwarf here who has absolutely never dunked in his life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He hasn't even dunked Dunkaroos. Like,
I tried to dunk my Oreos, but then fucking Dikembe Mutombo just comes out of nowhere.
They just crumble. You leave them in there a little too long, and now you just got cream in the movie. Oh.
A handful of cream.
I rented that movie last night. Handful of cream. Solo scene.
You live in that movie. Yeah. A solo scene.
Yeah, it's a solo scene, but whatever.
Holy shit.
Dude, so were the girls, were they on board with, like, did they know what you were up to? They must have loved it.
I don't think any, I think this is the first time I ever said it.
Yeah.
So I don't think anybody, I mean, I think people will know now. But.
Now, was there a dance, like a mascot dance squad leader, like, or was it like Tone?
No, it was like, it was funny. It was totally separate than the cheerleaders. I just kind of walked around then like there was I think my junior year, maybe it was my sophomore year. I think my sophomore year I was a mascot, and then I would go play on the JV team, yeah. And then my senior year, my junior year, I was not the mascot. I was just on the team.
Yeah,
but when I got to college, I did it for free books, so I would only do it till halftime and enjoy the game.
Worth it.
Yeah, you talking about $400 or $500?
Yeah,
$600 in
fuck
books.
Yeah, dude.
That's so I made a deal with them, and I was like, I'll be the mascot for the school. Actually, my roommate and I both. So I was the tiger with the football pants and the jersey and everything.
Yeah.
And he was like the full length tiger, so we would switch off here and there, and yeah, we got free books.
Dude, two tiger. Would you ever just like go to the zoo and shit too, or just like, and just like hang out by one of the cages and
just like leaning, like,
just like scare the other tiger? Like, hey, this is what it's like on the outside. It's crazy out here.
You son of a bitch, you got caught.
I learned to assimilate.
Okay. So then,
but that is ironic because I'm Bayside Tiger. I never like,
yeah,
because. Well,
and now, yeah, for those who aren't getting the correlation,
yeah,
just got a freaking TV show.
Yeah, so I'm
another one. Yo, Tone might be. I think I got a lot of successful friends. You might be like the one who just is like. I'm like, once you got to, I think it was once you got Bad Judge, the NBC Kate Walsh show, and then you had your show at FX, right? You still do?
Still do? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, when you told me that, I was like. Oh, yeah, Tone will never not work again. Dude, and that's my looks to God's ears.
I'm obsessed with retiring. Because people like, it's a, I don't know. I like
dude,
to
are you
philosophize
are you the,
about
are you
like
the Rebecca Lobo of comedy?
Well, not, no, so I never want to give up stand-up. That's the thing.
Okay.
I don't want to have to need it.
Gotcha.
Like, my perfect example is like Larry David.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he pops in and just does it. Like, it doesn't even, like, he does it for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I get this shit off my mind. Mm-hmm. That I just want to say,
yeah.
And if you laugh or not, it's cool. But I don't need it.
Yeah, right.
But I want it.
Right. Or he'll do like I saw him do a cool night at Largo where him and Jeff Garland, because they're good buds, just like interviewed him, and it was the best 2.5 hours of comedy.
Yeah.
Where it was like people just loved him so much they wanted to just like listen to him talk.
Yeah.
And you'd be like in this form, and you'd be great.
They just wanted to hear him get mad at shit.
So this show, this NBC show, yeah, that is crazy.
So it's myself and Mark Paul Gosselaar. Are
the two leads
who played Zach Morris in Saved by the Bell? So
yeah, if you don't know that, I mean, that's I don't know why you're listening to this
Zach
podcast.
Morris, the character Zach Morris went to Bayside. The mascot was a tiger. I was a mascot, a tiger.
How early did you bring that up to Mark Paul?
I've never thought about it. Like,
yikes!
He just texted me. Actually, let me just say something.
Mark Paul Gosselaar's texting you. Well, while you're here,
let me just say something. Brad,
I got so excited.
What Brad just verbalized, I felt in my body. We both got so excited.
Read the last two text messages.
Got time to do Playboy on Thursday.
The radio, not the Mac.
For sure, man.
So
hey, you guys got to get that promo.
I love that he's in your phone as just Mark Paul. He's just on the top like that, Mark
Brad, go ahead and change that right now to Zach.
Zach Morris.
Zach Attack. No, Zach.
Oh, Zach Attack.
Yeah. Zach Attack.
Preppy. Take him to Preppy.
Oh, man. If he's in your phone, is Preppy. The most baller thing ever.
But he's cool as shit, man. We have a good time. Like, he's awesome. Like, and it's funny because I got cast first. And so, well, no bullshit. I haven't said this out loud.
So you're locked in the NBC family. Is there
as long as the team stays there, the VPs and execs, mm-hmm.
Love you.
Those guys. So, Whitney was cool, but I was still just a punchline. You know, like I was there for diversity, and I was a punchline.
This was in the second season.
Second season,
right?
So I wasn't in the first season. I took Malik's role. Right. He went back to 30 Rock, and then I had like 6 auditions, and then it took for me to read with Chris. I read with Whit. And then I wrote with Chris, and Chris was like, "That's the dude," because I was up against like 2 other actors that I was fans of.
Oh wow!
And I was like, "Oh,
can you say their names?" Reginald Bell Johnson,
Malcolm
Jamal Warner.
No,
oh.
He's too old for the cast.
I like that we both went to that exact same space.
Malcolm Goodwin. Malcolm Goodwin.
Okay, Malcolm Goodwin.
Great actor. And then the other dude.
We got so excited.
We couldn't have said Malcolm Jamal Warner faster. Welcome back to Who Can Say
both
Malcolm.
Both of you's eyes were like it's dude. Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve, setting out cookies.
You have no idea, man. I just that would have been great. All right, so you. Chris goes, "That's the dude."
Yeah, and then so I get the call. Like, I was like, and I thought I, like, at the 6th audition, I was on the road, I was doing colleges, and I get the call, and they're like, "You got it." And I was like,
6 auditions, by the way. At what point are you like, "This ain't happening"?
I read 2 or 3, and I was like, they go, "All right, well, you're too young." I go, "Okay, I'll just hop back. I'll just keep doing colleges." And I was like, "All right, the next thing will come through."
You're doing a lot of stand-up colleges, right?
Yeah. I had another offer from BET to do a show to be like a lead in as well. And I was like, "I'll just do that." And then NBC came back, and so when they both made offers, I was like, "Oh, well, of course you take NBC over BT." So I was like, "I'll do that." And so Whitney was cool because it was like, all right, I have to learn how to act, for one. I went straight there. I went had done a couple commercials, and this is in town less than a year. No, it's right at a year. Right.
Fuck
at a year.
You.
Yeah, you hear that, everyone? Come to Hollywood. Within a year, you'll be on a hit network show.
Welcome to the Tone Bell. I'm sorry. Well, you said welcome to the Tone Bell School of How It's Done. Yeah,
that's a verb.
That's incredible.
Wait, the mistake I'm gonna that you said hit and
mm-hmm. two seasons.
Yeah, well, you know,
you're on there for one.
Some shows last 5 episodes.
I've been on some of those too.
Yeah,
yeah. How long did Bad Judge last?
We got 13, but they canceled us after 4. But they were just like, shoot it out. Like, it's like seeing your face. It's like knowing when you're about to die.
Oh, it's like you saw that clock in front.
Yeah, you're
of
like,
you.
Fuck, like, man. Right. So we got to the last episode, and Kate and I became really good friends.
Yeah,
and so because I turned it down at first. I turned down Bad Judge because I was like, I don't like that title, mm-hmm. and I was like, because all the bads were like not doing well. Bad teacher, bad grandpa was like not the best. I mean, people liked it. The kids liked it, but there was another one, bad.
Bad Company, the R&B group from the early 90s.
Obviously.
Another bad creation.
Yeah.
ABC was pretty good, though.
I mean, Breaking Bad is the exception, but that put it second.
Yeah. They have another bad coming out. I mean, they had like, it's like all the things that started with bad. Bad Johnson was a terrible.
So you're going to pass based on the title.
Yeah. And then they came back a third time and they're like, "Do you just want to go read?" And I was like, all right. And then I had to go between there and I had to go to the producer session at Kevin Hart's last pilot that Romney Malco ended up starring in. They're like, they're both at 10:30. It's the last session. You got to pick one. And I was like, well, I don't know ABC like I know NBC. I was like, I'll go over there. Mm-hmm. And so I went to NBC and I end up, you know, booking that shit.
So through Whitney, you got to know the group of comedy people at NBC.
But I'm really good with like networking, remembering people's names and what they do, and like remembering something about them that makes them special to me so that I can converse with them later about it. So I know the team over there.
Give me an example. Because that's really important and valuable.
Yeah. So, just knowing, there's an you mean like about you or just like
no, it's about
meet an exec, and
you try to first of all engage in some small talk further than just what your relationship is has been
correct. So I'll see them at like a read through, and a dude will a chick will come up, and I'm like, "Oh, it's a nice necklace. Is that Kate Spade?" I've seen a Kate Spade necklace. I had no idea if that's Kate Spade or not, but I've seen something like it. So I go. I'm like, so if I see it, I'm like, what is that? So now it's locked up here. And I go, "Oh, is that a Kate Spade?" And they go, "Oh," she goes, "yes, it is." She goes, "Oh, my mom got it for me for Christmas." I'm like, "Oh, where are you from?" "Cleveland." "Oh, I've been to Cleveland."
Boom. Look at that, dude. Under 4 seconds, you've got like, 6 Wikipedia facts.
And now I'm in because she goes, "Oh, this dude is not bullshitting."
Right.
He's not just making me feel good because, and I am, but then we become friends. And now that we go to lunch all the time.
There's one of the execs.
Go to actually, she's the VP now. Like, we hang out, like,
dude.
We,
and now she's and guess what, man? Now
and we talk like
so
we talk,
in your corner.
Yeah,
yeah. But then like, I'm sure when you guys go out and have lunch, like, sure, you may talk a little business, but
and
that's not the base.
It's probably no business. Yeah,
you're just going to, and that's probably why she keeps hanging out with you.
Super
you,
open
because you're not.
Oh my god, he'll say anything to me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And like, she'll tell me her shit, and I tell her mine, and it's like it's a friendship.
That's awesome.
Because you never know. Because like it's a it's also and people get crazy about this, but like. I take every meeting. I don't care who it is. I don't care. Like, there's a little kid at CAA. You know Andy who always hangs out?
Frog, yeah.
Dude, I hang out with Andy all the time. Love Andy. Because yeah. You know what? That dude, we might be working for that dude one day.
Yeah.
He's a
yeah.
hustler.
I know,
you know
dude.
What I mean?
Yeah.
His boss now, one of his bosses is like, we want to meet with Tone, like, over CAA. And I'm like, I'm not leaving Innovative, especially no time soon.
Yeah.
But, because they've been working.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Fuck yeah, dude.
But you never know when that dude or that chick is going to be the head of Fox. Agents become VPs.
Oh yeah, dude. He's on the star path.
You just never know.
Yeah.
So it's like, so why not be cool now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you took the meeting.
I took the meeting. Yeah. Yeah. Every fucking meeting. I don't care if you even don't even have an agency yet or a network. If you're talking about starting a production company, I'm like, yeah, I'll sit with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now there's no school of how to take these meetings. So at what point did you feel really comfortable in or knowing? You know, like the first year, I feel like I started doing a ton of generals. I started feeling a rhythm of like how much to shoot the shit, and then how many I had some go-to stories.
That is something that people don't do generals. I'm like, how are you out here? I do not get it. Like my guys, when I first got the NBC deal from Stand Up for Diversity, the NBC goes, all right, we want to have a meeting, right? And so it's me, 12 execs across a long table. Shit, you see an Entourage, right?
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, you guys, I'm saying that for these
yep.
for these assholes that are listening.
There's six women in their 70s from Sarasota, Florida, right?
And my dad's like.
Some woman named Dolores.
He listens to every fucking podcast.
Does he really?
Yeah, everything I do, yeah.
What's so his name?
Mike.
Mike Bell.
Yeah,
What up, man?
And so, like, you know, you sit across, and I take my managers with me. And one of the execs who brought me into the program, she goes, you know, people don't normally bring their managers to general meetings. And I go, well, I don't normally have general meetings. So I don't know if I'm going to say something stupid or not.
Right.
Because I keep it like very real in meetings, man. I'm just like, hey, if I need to know that you care about me, don't bullshit me. If you're not going to work with me, let's go back to work. I can go eat lunch.
Wait, early on in the general?
Dude, I very, very quick. Where you from? Because like, if you don't give a shit, man, I will go. I will mm-hmm. I have other business to do. I have
because they're taking a lot of meetings, man, and sometimes they're just like they can tell early on too. Like we got a vibe from this guy. We know going into this meeting whether or not there's some buzz on him or whether we are interested from the clips we've seen.
And they I get a lot of calls back. They're like, "Yo, man, we love how Tone doesn't give a fuck." You know what I mean? And it's not a position. I mean, I have fun in some meetings, and some are like, you know, some are pitch meetings, but like if it's just a general, I make the meeting about them too. I never make it about me. So like they know you already.
Yeah.
They've seen your stand up, they know what you've done. Yeah. They've seen clips.
Yeah.
Well, like they're meeting with you to see if they should keep you around. Mm-hmm. And so I talk to you about you cuz nobody ever asks them about them.
Uh-uh. Yeah, you're right.
Interesting concept.
You know what I mean?
You're
so
right.
Like, so I'll just make the meeting about them, and then like,
and then guess what? Be funny based on the shit they give you.
And then
what
they
is
go,
that called?
And they
crowd
go, man,
work.
That's a guy I want to hang out with. We should have him on the lot all the time.
Right.
I pop into people's offices. You like if I'm ever like just like say I have to go do like ADR.
Yeah.
Like bad judge. I would send three emails and go, hey, are you back from lunch? I'll schedule my ADR for like 2:00. Then I'll pop in like three offices. At like 3:30, 4:00 or whatever, smart. Just to make sure hey, the whole
seen.
Office sees me. And I'm obnoxious in fucking offices, dude. I'm loud. I went to APA last year, and I was like, yo, you know Max?
Yeah.
Max.
Burgos. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I go, Max, man, this office is boring as shit. Everybody's quiet. Why are you quiet? And I'm just like, start yelling. Be like, shh. I'm like, this is boring.
Yeah.
I go over to Innovative. Everybody stops working. We all convene. I mean, like literally, agents, assistants. We all just talk for 30 minutes.
Yeah,
shit shuts down.
Well, they love you now.
And then, well, yeah. I mean, like it's you know, it was nice.
That's so. That's a vibe that makes you feel comfortable too.
Yeah, it's like and like you make me feel like I you want me to be there. So it makes me want to work harder.
And now, but that's such an important skill set because it's something that you need to have in addition to just being talented at whatever you do. You got to be someone, whether you want to open up for a comic on the road, whether you just want some sort of job, any job. You want to be someone that people enjoy hanging out with.
Dude,
they have to hang out with you.
Being funny is so little. I mean, it helps.
Sure.
But I mean, especially because I never got a chance to be a role. I never got a chance to feature, really. Mm-hmm. I did like two cities with Kanane. I did two with Sebastian, and maybe three with Carter, with Darren Carter.
Yeah.
And maybe twice in my home club. I was opening a lot because people start bringing their guys that they wanted to hang out with.
Yep. You know? So then after Whitney.
Yeah. Well, after the NBC, after NACA.
Okay.
Dude, I fucking crushed. My first time crushed NACA. Second time NACA, ate a dick.
NACA, by the way, is the college conference, basically, where you audition to get booked by every college in the country.
Yeah. The first one I booked like 53 schools.
Holy
after, like,
shit. One set. Wow.
Like 50 some schools, and then maybe like 40, like 48, and then a couple trickled in after. But like that after my set, murdered, son. It was crazy. And then
have you seen that type of money before?
I didn't even get to do it because I booked Whitney. I had to cancel 40 some schools.
Oh man,
no lie. Yeah,
but maybe that made them want you more after Whitney.
That's the thing. And then I ended up leaving a college agent, and she got mad at me. I saw her last year, and she was like, "I can't believe you left me." And I'm like, it's not a break. What are you talking about?
It's like that, and you didn't leave her. Like, you got a TV show.
You know, you like,
girl, you knew what this was when we started this shit.
Yeah, like, I book an NBC show, and I'm gone.
No.
This episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Go to Casper.com/ALN for $50 towards any mattress. That's right, Casper.com/ALN, and get $50 off your better sleeping situation.
And then, then I went to Fox.
Yeah.
I did Fox pilot. And I was real bad in that, man. I was not good at it.
Really? Yeah, so you mentioned this too, that you had two commercials, and then all of a sudden you're on TV.
I booked a commercial in 3 weeks when I got here.
What commercial?
It's a Miller Lite commercial.
Fuck.
So
I think I remember that.
Yeah. Fuck you, Anheuser-Busch. Your first commercial was a Miller Lite.
They got mad at me about it.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Now, what was
But you let me go. I didn't quit. You laid me off.
And you were the black guy in the four group of friends?
No. It was a black Miller Lite commercial. So it was me, Maranzio Vance.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yeah,
I was fresh into town, yeah.
Yeah.
So myself and Maranzio, and there's another dude named Carl who played the was like the third guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the same show at the Comedy Store that night, and the director was there, so I think that's why.
Dude, that's awesome.
That helps.
So you get that, and you're like,
I had no agent, no manager, and a friend of mine's at the gym. She goes, "Hey, my friend's casting this commercial, and they need black dudes. Can you go over there?" So I went to like three auditions, and they were just like, "Yeah, all right." And I got a call, like, "You booked it." I go, "Book what?" And I'm living in that shitty apartment with AG. I'm living up in North Hollywood with Mark AG. And it was like, I was like, fuck. I was like, all right. Then I got another commercial like 2 months later. Then I booked two early that spring. I booked two Verizon spots. And then like a Charles Schwab commercial.
Nice.
You get into that rotation where people just get used to seeing you on TV.
Yeah, man. Like, it was good, man.
Yeah.
This episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Go to Casper.com/ALN for $50 towards any mattress. That's right, Casper.com/ALN, and get $50 off your better sleeping situation. And then, so then you go into, you said this Fox pilot, and you're just like, you're dog shit.
Well, you know what? I didn't know, as an actor, I wasn't prepared. I didn't do enough research.
Yeah.
So the one thing about comedy I think we're good at is, like, if we need to, we can look at stuff and study it enough to mimic or to, like, take the influence enough to figure out how to be what they need. I didn't do enough of that. By the end of Whitney, I was like, oh, I know what I'm doing because I got better at it.
Yeah, right.
But I went to a single cam instead of a multi, and I'm waiting on a laugh.
Oh, I see.
Yikes. And it was like that moment. I was like, I thought that was funny.
No,
and like, no, there's nothing. Nobody's laughing.
And you would say that after your line.
I thought that was funny. Yeah. No, but I would do that cat eye. Like, I would look around like the cat clock, and I was like, you know, that eyes that goes. You're like, when you're on stage, you go nothing.
And you're doing that.
It's like what Dion Cole does after
and
that
I was
joke.
In,
man,
I played
shit's
Brittany
crazy.
Snow's love interest. Yeah. I played Brittany Snow's love interest, and she's like, she was cool. She was, I mean, Catherine O'Hara and Stephen Root. Like, it was a good cast, and I just, like, I was in this, like, at least half of it.
Yeah.
And they cut me out so much. Like, I was in, like, 2.5 scenes, I think, when
it
was all
shit.
Said and done. I just was not good at it. And it didn't get picked up. And then I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, I got to learn what I'm doing. And then I did, but I studied my ass up. I talked to Damon Jr. And I talked to a couple other actors and stuff. And so when I went in for Bad Judge, I had a couple other offers. And we stuck with NBC because they had been nice to me. And so then I was like, I keep hearing Kate is cool as fuck. I want to meet Kate.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Kate called Whit and was like, is he cool? And Whit was like, hire him. Like, he's the shit. And so,
again, that, like, relationship. Yeah, I mean, how much of that do you really think all
Whitney and Kate, and, I mean, between the two of them and now, like, Angela Kinsey is a good friend of mine, yeah. and Yvette Nicole Brown, and, like, Sherry Shepherd. And, I mean, just, like, all these women who, like, they talk. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, I mean, like, and just, you know, just being out of the party. It's like, oh, I'm working with so-and-so. And they go, man, he's so much fun to work with.
And that's I had an issue with a director. Big part of it.
I had an issue with a director on Judge. And just, honestly, the speed of the show. And I was, like, not happy about it. Like, episode three, I was like, dude, I was like, this is... And Kay's like, what's up? I was like, nothing. Don't worry about it. It's not my show. And she goes, this is our show. Just step outside.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, wow. I was like, and so I was like, yo, take my mic off. And so we took the mic off, took a five, which is like really Hollywood to say. I was like, can we take a five? Kay was like, can we take a five? I was like, I kind of wanted to say that.
You know what would be great? Is if she was like, what's up? And you walk out and you're like, I was really upset the way Private Practice ends. And I was hoping we could go back and do like a redo on the series finale.
Can we, instead of one of our episodes, do that
just
again?
Do that?
Can we talk about how it... But I was like, look, I just think we're going too fast. I was like, don't you feel like we're talking at each other and it's not a conversation? And she goes, yeah. I was like, okay, you felt like that too? And I was like, yeah. I was like, it's not fun right now. Can we have fun? And so she was like, fuck yeah. And so we just went back in and started like having fun. That's when the show, next episode, the ratings were great. So they pulled the plug. Mm-hmm. But we're also going against, you know, scandals on the same time.
Yeah, dude.
You can't compete with it. And football was on. And so
can't compete with football.
And so, but I mean, like, yeah, she was super tight. She texted me the other day. Like, we're still cool as fuck, man. She's awesome. But like, yeah, those girls, man, like, they helped me out.
They talk, and everybody. I mean, like you just said, like, and I'm sure that's a testament too to the rapport that you like just build with people on set. And it's like you mentioned, like, funny is a part of it, but they want to know you're cool to work with, because I guess there are,
you got to be with somebody,
and none of us are those people.
Yes.
But we know of those stories of people that are just nightmares, which none of us mm-hmm. can imagine being, because it's like, we know how tough it is to get in a position. Well, Brad and I do. Tone just fucking crab walked into Hollywood and fucking got put on every goddamn network.
But like, you're so excited to be there and so thankful to be there. Yeah. The last thing you'd want to do is to,
dude. There's a director that they're like, I was meeting with NBC and the showrunner, and they go like, and I'm not gonna say his name, but I'll tell you afterwards. But like,
sure.
I was like, I will do the show. They're like, they offered me the show, and I was like, yes, I'll take a show. I'll take a pilot for sure. And then I go like, but seriously, two things. I need a barber, because they never have a black barber. If you're doing a predominantly white show, there's never a black barber.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'm like, I can't let a 65-year-old Jewish woman cut my hair. It's not going to happen. I'm not doing it.
Although that's another great show. Then, of course, you'd star in.
No continuity.
Yeah, no
continuity. Yeah, yeah. That's the name of the show. No continuity.
So great. Wait, so this was on...
This is Bad Judge.
Okay, cool.
I mean, honestly, Whitney too. But they had this Puerto Rican dude who like showed up on Whitney and was like, he brushed my. I was like, I don't brush. You didn't even ask me. You just started brushing my hair. I was like, get him out of here. I'll just go on my own. And then Bad Judge, they were like, it's not in the budget. I'm like, we don't have $30 a week. We don't have it. You just said we don't have
$30 a week. Yeah.
And so, but I was sitting in a meeting with all these guys. And
God, that's something I wouldn't even think about.
Dude, it's. So I was sitting there like, anything else, like, you know, just like anything that you just, I was like, yeah, I was like, I don't want to be a diva, but I don't get along with this dude. I don't get along with this director. He treats me like shit. He's very condescending. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable working around him, just to be honest with you. He's probably a great director. You guys probably like him, but I will not work with him again. And so they were like, okay. And so we're going to like, he'll never be on our show.
Wow.
And so like, that's.
That is a tough thing to have the balls to bring, because like you just said, you don't want to be a diva, and you're like, man, this is my fucking, what, second show? I can't be already making these. I need to just go with the flow and make it work. That would be my mentality.
Yeah.
But I guess if it's really bad.
And it's like, I mean, I even trying to look on to like how I am to work with, I'm like, I will do whatever. And I was honest with them up front. I go, if I do the show, you have to find somebody better than me, because I need to learn from them, and they need to hold down a scene because I'm good at funny. Mm-hmm. And they need to be able to like make this thing work. And so I was like, if that dude is timid, I don't want to let you down. I was like, but I will do what I do well.
Right.
And so they were like, all right, cool. So he was, because they were going to go a little. I put Barry Rothbart in the mix at first.
Oh, shit.
And Barry came in, and I was like, that's Cheeto came in.
Yeah. Wait, did you direct?
No. But just to come in.
Yes.
Because I want to work with somebody I knew, but I was like, I don't know if I can hold down a series, not yet on my own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, I'm top lining. We're like co-stars, right?
Yeah.
You know, like equal yeah, weight right
but
now.
That's mature of you to recognize that. Because too many people want success too fast, too soon, and then they don't realize, hey, you're not ready for that. Like you don't have, like, not saying you won't be, not saying you won't have that skill set, you won't develop it, but if you get seen too quickly, then you're just not ready for it.
Like, I know right now, like, I'm developing with NBC too, and I don't, like, I'm not ready to put my name on a show yet.
Hey, you can put my name on it if you want. For sure, just call it the Adam Ray Tone Bell Project. The Adam Ray Project with Tone Bell.
Where is Adam? No, he's not in the show.
it is the Adam Ray Project.
Use his name, man. Yeah. In case this thing goes
about, he comes by set often, though.
But I'm sure after People Are Talking, which will be on NBC in the fall.
Fridays after Undateable.
Wow, that's in the fall then.
In the fall.
When Undateable does an entire live season. That's
crazy. I'm excited for them, but I don't know how they're going to take a week off. Because TV work, especially if you do like a multicam. Right.
It's a lot more work.
You get 3 weeks on, 1 week off.
Yeah. I was just in Vancouver doing shows, and Ron Funches was also at the, I was at Comedy Mix.
Right?
Yeah, and he was at Yuck Yucks. And so on our last night, it was over in his room. We were smoking pot and played wrestling and Mortal Kombat on the PS4. Yo, man, unbelievable. And also, he was laughing so hard because his feature and I were playing. He's like, I'll let you guys go first because you're both probably pretty terrible. And we're playing, and we're just hitting the button so hard. Ron calls us, he goes, oh, you guys are both button smashers. And I'm like, there's a term for it. Of course there's a term for it. And he knows it because that's his world, man.
Yeah.
That's a gamer term, and it also sounds extremely gay.
Button smashers. Yeah, I saw that on someone's Grindr program. Profile. They said they were a button smasher. What I was doing on Grindr, hey, that's none of your damn business.
Oh, yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
But he, as did he.
Yeah.
He was telling me how
that would be the name of your tag team.
What?
The button smashers.
I'm okay with that.
Coming down the aisle from parts unknown. The button smashers.
Dun, 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 dun. And we're in two tiger outfits. But he told me, he was like, yeah, he's like, it's going to be a lot of work, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Oh, man.
And but it'll be great because they got a third season, and I think that live episode crushed, and it's also such a new thing.
Talking to Brent, they're going to do some like really interesting things with the show.
Yeah.
So like it's going to be a different kind of vehicle that if
people respond to it, man, it's going to just open up a lot of shit, and it'll help you guys a lot, obviously.
It's going to make people, have to act again.
Yep.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I mean, because that's the safety end.
That's what Ron was really saying. He's like, we can't make mistakes, man. And also, hey, man, let's get a TGIF-like lineup back. Yeah. And Friday night used to be an event for TV.
You remember four sitcoms in a row?
That used to happen. Yes.
Four sitcoms in a row.
Family Matters, Step by Step.
I mean, Boy Meets World, Perfect Strangers.
There it is. Yeah.
Yep. That Dinosaurs slipped in there. For like two seasons. They got two seasons.
God, that way they should have gotten more.
Do you think? I tried to watch it recently. I mean, there was some good stuff. What do you think about this Muppets is coming back?
Hey, I mean, you're talking. I mean, come on, man. You're talking to a guy that still wants to be a puppeteer, super bad. Yeah, and I've got a few angles right now on. There's a movie that the Henson Company is doing with Disney that I know the director really well, and I sent him some of my old sketches of me doing puppet shit, and he was like, "Oh yeah, man." He's like, "Wow, okay, I didn't know. Awesome, I think the Muppet Show is going to be the best, and I would love to be a part of it in any way, shape, or form. And it looks like 30 Rock with the Muppets. It's going to be the best.
That's because it's like behind the scenes. It's like them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It needs to be the way that the Muppets have been integrated. The movies I'm glad the movies came out because it like just got them back
in the lexicon.
In.
Yeah.
But
Instagram really brought Kermit.
Yeah.
Back. I mean, like.
What? Because the memes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the drinking tea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So funny.
Kermit was on a good six month roll.
He had a good run, man. Yeah,
he had a good run.
I just figure Kermit's agent, like, we gotta go viral. What can you do? Can you drink tea?
Wait, sit right there. Do that again. Like a snaps a picture. Cross your legs. Cross your legs.
But I mean, so you're gonna be on Friday night, NBC. The show is called
8:30.
People are talking.
Wait, when did Mark Paul get?
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Yeah. When did he get involved? You said you threw out a couple other buddies' names.
Brecia Webb, who plays my wife on the show, it was her and I first, and then they went for him. So I had to. I was actually in casting for a lot, in a lot of the casting, which I've never been involved in.
How's that been on the other side?
It's you. I know bad. How it feels.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Because like because everybody, we all know. There very few people had like an awkward read, but you see, you're like, oh, well, you're here because you're talented.
Right.
It has nothing to do with it. I mean, because everybody could do it.
How you audition?
It's like, is the chemistry there? What do you do well? Like, there's a dude, and I don't want to say his name, but he is so funny. And I was like, I wanted to work with him. He just wasn't right for this project.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh,
do you, how early do you know that? Because that's happened to me
a lot
where things go great, and then they're just like, man, you're just not, like, there's just something that's not.
I knew that, watch, because everybody, they gave me the names the night before. I watched stuff that they had done. Mm-hmm. Just so I knew how they would deliver, so I could make sure I could compliment them, so they get the best take possible.
Yeah, look at you doing research.
We all, you got to pay it forward, man. So like, yeah. I was like, why don't we all? Let me put my best foot forward, so he can put his best foot forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this dude, I mean, we saw 30 people.
Wow,
I probably read with 22 of them.
Wow,
I mean, they saw more than that.
But, I was curious, what number makes you finally go, where's Zach? Like,
well, he had another offer.
Oh, okay.
And so, but he wanted to come in for this. And so, we had some names that I was like, I'm going to get to work with who? Like,
Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford. The Rock came in.
And, you know, I mean, and then you had to turn him down because.
But do you know how weird it is to, like, be fans? Like, there's some guys I'm, like, fans of.
Oh, and, yeah, of course.
And the girls who play my wife who, like, some of the girls call me. They just call other actresses and they call me. And I'm like, hey, Tony, this is so-and-so. Go, shut up. And I'm like,
dude,
I was,
that's crazy.
And or like they'll text me, hey, this is so and so. I'm coming in to audition next week. Would you want to maybe like read so we can get some? And you're like,
whoa.
You're like, if nothing else, I just want to meet you. I want to meet you. I was going to, yeah. But mm-hmm. but I ended up having some auditions, so I couldn't do it. Yeah. So I met him in the room. Yeah. But I was like, here's how I deliver here. Like, if you want to go over the phone real quick, but I go, watch this clip of my stand up and watch this scene from Bad Judge, and this is how I'm doing this scene.
Cool.
And so that, just, you know, and but yeah, but like that, I mean, but you know.
So there's just some things.
But you know how weird it's like I, Mark Paul, we finished the audition and then I followed him out. I was like, can we take a picture?
Because you didn't know if you were going to see him
and
again.
I didn't post it right away.
Yeah.
But I was like, I know. I was like, we have to do this.
Was he cool about it?
Yeah, he's super cool, man.
And then how weird is it for you, like, knowing that you're kind of judging these people? Like, you're.
Well, that's the thing. I wasn't there for that.
Okay.
So
you were just there for the chemistry.
And they go, okay. Before I left, they got my opinion before they deliberated, you know? So I was like, they're like, what do you think? I was like, I thought dude was really good. Or mm-hmm. I was like, yo, fantastic. And then I would leave. So then they would talk about.
Gotcha. So you weren't.
Yeah.
You mentioned about not the just getting a sense that the person wasn't right for that project.
Yeah.
At what was it about some of these people that you, and how quickly would you just recognize, like, oh, so good, but just
like
the look, right? Has something to do with it?
Yeah, well, the look is like, could we be friends, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, could we look like best friends? Or just like, one thing I do well is like, I pause a lot in my comedy and I stutter a little bit through stuff. So if you do that, I can't do that. So
I see.
You have to be direct. Like, I need to be the one that, like, fumbles through some stuff here and there.
Yep.
If you take a lot of pauses or you take a lot of, or if you're very quick and big energy.
That's going to clash.
We have to gel.
It's smart. You have to be able to recognize it. But that's delivery and timing, which is a huge part of comp. Yes. I mean,
timing.
Like,
I've never heard that.
Let me tell you, Tone.
Listen, delivery.
One of the
timing things
you skipped over when you just fucking rushed over to Hollywood. You didn't read the books, did you?
We read Board Standing Up. We know how to do this.
Yeah, yeah. There was a sign that said, tips for Hollywood here. He just drove right past it and said, no, I got a fucking beef jerky commercial.
I've seen that sign. Yeah.
What is the show about?
It's like, it's actually pretty cool. It's kind of Friends-ish mm-hmm. with a little Seinfeld, but it's a little zany, but when I say Friends, I mean, friends that are also like a group of friends who are also neighbors,
mm-hmm.
and these two happen to be married. So two best friends, neighbors, and married couples.
And Mark Paul are married.
Yes, and then the two girls, they live next door.
Okay.
so we
hey,
actually,
never know.
So we actually live. So it's myself and Brescia and Mark Paul and his wife.
Yeah,
and we share like a driveway and basketball hoop and
love
like
it.
And so we just like. It's the
do you
first
get to hoop in the episode? I'm sorry.
Do.
Ball?
The hoop? Do you play any hoops?
Bread?
That's using it as a noun. But I need you to use it as a verb. Do you hoop?
Yo.
Not do you play
hoops. Can I say
hooping?
Yo, you hooping?
Oh, nice.
Absolutely
yeah.
hooping.
And that's apostrophe N. That was no ING.
Hooping the.
But yeah, we do. Yeah, we do play ball in the first, awesome. In the first episode.
Do you love multi having the audience and
we're a hybrid.
Oh.
What? So you have some with the live audience, some not?
None. No live audience ever.
Oh, okay.
So we shoot for camera, but it's all closed set.
But Laugh Track.
Laugh Track. So How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, okay.
How I Met Your Mother. Seinfeld. Seinfeld. Nobody knows it. Nobody, Seinfeld was a hybrid.
No shit.
First season they were live. After that, they just shot it. Dude, I was listening to an interview with Larry David, and they would pop out 65 pages for a half-hour episode.
Yeah.
And they would just run through it.
Wow.
And you just add the laughs in later. But like if you notice, the difference between them is the crowd is silent sometimes on a multicam. And then when punchlines hit, it spikes back down.
Yeah.
Hybrids, there's laughter all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of faint. Ooh. You know, they have people go in and loop for it. But laughter never stops.
Mm-hmm. How do you play that? Like, I mean,
Some moments that are very subtle, so you play like a single cam, but then the zanier moments you have to play like a multi, so that you can get that.
And the director's assisting you with.
Well, when you rehearse, if you don't hit it, they'll go make that a big moment. That should be bigger or whatever. But then they'll go. You can take your time. However you feel that, just take your time and like let that breathe.
Yeah. Now you're dealing with a guy, Mark Paul, who you know, was kind of did that shit when he was like 10. So yeah. I mean, does he throw you little tips here and there, or
he came?
He's got
so
Franklin
much,
M. Bash and Saved by the Bell.
Well, which was a dramedy, But then before he was on NYPD Blue.
That's right.
So he was straight drama, you know.
But then at the same time, I think this is his first time going back to like the sitcom format.
Yeah.
Wow,
dude.
Wow, and it's with you.
Yeah, man.
What the
it's
fuck?
Been, I mean, he and I were in New York a week
before. At the upfronts, yeah?
At the upfronts.
How
man.
Was that?
It was awesome, man.
People must be so. Well, A, it's great because your face has now been out there, so people aren't.
I'm not Kate Walsh's sidekick this time.
Yeah.
Last time I was like, oh, that's a dude that's in Kate Walsh's show. Now it's like, oh, Tom, man.
What was that
be
difference?
Funny in that.
Just more people coming up to you?
Yeah. I mean, especially, honestly, even with actresses going like, because they only looked at her in the clip last time.
Yeah.
I got the biggest laugh, but they looked at her because it was her show.
Yep, right.
This time, I'm a face of it. And so they go like, even Ice-T came up. Ice-T goes, yo, man, that shit look funny.
How? All right.
He was with Coco, by the way, and she's not a game.
Wow.
She is.
That's it.
That's for real.
That is not. Look,
so
the camera does not lie.
Wow.
She's amazing.
That's incredible. So she's built like a cartoon character.
Oh, Jessica Rabbit.
Oh,
wow.
That's insane. And when, like, did you see Ice-T walk up to you? Did you get nervous?
I took a piss with him. That's when we met.
Wait, you met now? Okay, this is not the same
urinal.
Now, did you see him and go, "You want to go in the bathroom together, real quick"? Or do you see him?
I met
him
at the stall.
Okay,
so I met him at the stall, and then he was shaking out, and I was going in, and then we met at the washing our hands,
pissing with tea.
It's like comedians in cars getting coffee.
Yeah,
pissing with tea. Great show.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, just pee at the urinal.
That'd be a nice Instagram show.
I mean, that's a great idea.
I mean,
or Periscope. Fuck that shit. Yeah, fuck Periscope.
You know.
No, man. We just had a conversation.
I'm trying to get on board. I can't get on board.
Are you?
I haven't done one yet.
You shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to be like, I gotta make myself do this. You should be all about it or not into it.
I'm definitely teetering, so I haven't done it yet.
All right, me too. I was telling Brad. I keep seeing followers accumulate, and then I'm like, I feel bad for not putting anything out for him. But I'm like, I'm always in a place where I'm like, oh, are you just gonna pull it out right now when you're like on the steps of a Quiznos?
I'm still very like I don't take selfies in public. I don't really take selfies anyway. But if I do, it's about something that's there, not me.
Yeah,
right. I just want to show that I'm in frame.
Yep,
whatever. Right. I do like a corner of my eye or something. I'm not really.
Or when you're on your set for your shows and shit. But that's promotional stuff.
Yeah, I don't. Mm-hmm. I cannot. Something about me taking a picture of me for you. It's not.
Gotcha.
That you didn't ask for.
That and the whole thing with Periscope is that. It seems like the interest, like the only time it's really cool and interesting is when something interesting is going on. And if something interesting is going on in my life, I don't want to be on my phone.
Yeah,
I want to be
hands free. I want to be enjoying it. Yeah,
because
I know I saw a dude. This what really turned me off. Last week was my first week on it, and I would watch some other people just to see.
I'm fascinated with it.
Yeah.
I watched three guys in an Uber in Dubai talk about like fucking, you know, spaghetti and meatballs or whatever they're doing, and I was like, I couldn't have been more enthralled.
Brent and I got on last week on his, and people started hitting me. All right, we can join Periscope. I was like, all right, fine, I'll join, but I haven't put one out.
Yeah,
and then I joined it. And I saw Jason. So Jason Collins. hop on. Then I saw Cheeto hop on.
Yep.
Then I saw Quigley and what's her name?
Sturger.
Sturger.
Yeah, in the pool party.
In the pool party. Yeah. And I was like, and I watched it for like 20 minutes. And I was like, I need to take a nap.
What'd you gain from that?
Nothing.
What'd you lose from that?
20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes. And that's no knock on them because no one knows yet how to what to use it for.
But this is why. This is why.
Somebody will.
I saw. Like, I was going through and I was like, all right, do I like the titles? What do I want to check out? I did see this like chick leaving the Cannes Film Festival or something, like leaving with her husband or something, and they were just showing like I was like, oh, I feel like I'm at Cannes. You know, I was like, right. Like,
and so that's cool because
that was kind of cool.
You're not at Cannes.
I'm not there. Yeah, I'm not there. So like, just seeing how what it looked like and they're au revoir and hugging people. And I was like, that's kind of interesting,
dude. To get a look into any part of the world in a split second is crazy.
Live is outrageous. Yeah. But I saw a dude sit in the back of a comedy club. And I think I want to say it was like Minneapolis. It could have been Madison. And a dude was just taping a dude. He goes watching stand up. And a dude, the comments are going up. Dude's like, dude's pretty good. Like the hearts and the shit's going up. And it's just going like, dude, it's pretty funny. That joke didn't work. And I was like, fuck. I was like, that
scares me.
Well, but that's worse than taping.
Yeah.
But is it? Because I feel like that could hurt or help us. Because like, it's the same way when Dave Matthews Band started allowing people.
But not an open mic.
Yeah.
Oh, if you're choosing that day to try some stuff out, then that's the day that someone periscopes it. Hey, maybe that joke didn't work.
Yeah.
And that's what people see. Or maybe you're getting that joke ready for a special and it's not quite ready yet.
I mean, granted, you know, that guy's name wasn't on the title, you know, so nobody knows who he really was. And but, it was like middle America, but it's like that's, you know, if somebody does it, the fact
that's how you steal material too. You got these young comics that just follow these guys who are taping.
And you got 24 hours to rewatch it. You know what I mean? Like this stays. You can't just. I guess you could delete it, but
yeah. But like, what if what if you know Dane Cook or Russell Peters is on stage at the Laugh Factory and someone's like, oh hey look, but that's they're getting ready for a special.
Right
now they're just broadcasting that to the world.
Yep. Oh shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it stays for 20. Like the cool time we were on our way to up front, and D'Elia was sitting in front of me, and Dag was sitting in front of him.
Yeah.
Dave Allen Greer was sitting in front of him. And
so funny.
The three, he's one of the funniest dudes in the world.
Yeah, give us a nice Dave Allen Greer story. Any good piss stories? You take a shit with him? Like, would you?
Did he talk to you about food? I know he's a big food guy.
We're in the airport, and he's wearing overalls and a white. He looks like a farmer. Okay, he's wearing old boots, and I'm like,
is that your character for your show?
he doesn't recognize me up front. I got like a scully on, and I got like my glasses. He goes, oh, didn't know. He's like, didn't know who you. Sit down, have a seat if you want. And so,
great impression.
And he goes, now what show are you doing? What show are you? I'm like, I'm on NBC 2. That he's congratulations, your career. Now you're a star. I mean, like and then one of the execs comes up, and she's like, hey, will you guys watch my stuff? And he goes, yeah. If your purse looks rummaged through, it was him.
Says the guy in the overalls.
It was like, yeah.
Always on.
And like, I mean, he's like, yeah, but he's. Like, he's the kind of on that's really funny.
Yeah,
right.
And he's not, like, he knows he's making you laugh, but it's effortless.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not trying.
It's effortless, man.
So you met so many people at those upfronts and just Ice-T, like, give us.
Dude, I kicked with Wesley Snipes. I kicked with Wesley Snipes.
What?
We took a picture. Entertainment Tonight put it up, like, on their Instagram.
Willie Mays Hayes?
Oh. Sydney Dean?
Oh, shit.
Dude, he goes, we go to this little meet and greet for our night or whatever, and for like affiliate stations. Yeah. We take a picture. He goes, I'm about to go. He goes, Tone, which party are you going to first? I go, what? Why is passenger 57 talking to me right now?
Please tell me you said this out loud.
And the answer is whatever party you are going to, Blade.
Because
I'm going to need some protection. Yeah. Holy shit.
Demolition Man. Like,
wait, so like, is he doing a TV show?
Yeah, he's doing a show.
I love that.
No shit.
I think it's called The Player. Yeah, I think it's called The Player.
I'm watching it.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes.
Super chill, man. He had a couple drinks. He was a lot of fun. Who else did I? Well, you know, last year I met Katherine Heigl, and that was really fun. Her and I had drinks at like 4 a.m. It was awesome.
Oh, shit.
It was a table of us, but I sat next to her. And we just talked shit, man. But this year, yeah. I mean, like Harry Lennox, who is, you know, he's on Blacklist. He was there. Craig T. Nelson. Oh, so this is kind of fun.
Craig T. Nelson.
You got Craig T. Nelson. Sorry, why did you open the podcast?
Craig T. Nelson sitting behind me. And some of the Lawrence Tate is in front of me, Wesley's in front of me, a couple guys from like all the dramas, and it's me and Mark Paul.
Yeah.
And Dolly Parton is singing at our thing.
Jesus Christ. Mary Fuck Kill. Coach, Tone Bell, Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton is like playing a guitar. Our president, Greenblatt, playing the piano. She sings. She's walking. She's exiting the stage, but she's walking towards the side of the theater that we're sitting on. And I go, I don't know. I guess I was waiting. Like, the music went off, so I was a little louder than I thought it was going to be. But I was like, I don't know, man. She could get it. And so, and fucking, they all bust out laughing.
That's like one of those sitcom moments where, yeah, you're just like, you're like in the club.
Craig taps me on the shoulder. He goes, yeah.
Wow, dude.
Oh, that's so perfect. And are you, has this gotten normal for you yet? Or are you still walking around these types of things going, holy fuck, this is awesome.
I see you more than I see you, Brad. Like, but like, you know me. I hang low, man. I don't do a lot of shit, man. I don't go to a lot of parties. I don't hang out at cool bar. I hang out at dive bars, and I stick with my Texas buddies a lot, and maybe a few other comics.
It's smart, man. I mean, you handle your business.
Yeah, and it's like, and I'm out, but you'll never catch me at the store way too late.
Yep.
Like, I'll pop in. I'll say what's up. Then I'm trying to get another spot. I mean, I do have my places where I do hang and kick it.
Yeah, like when we were at the Ice House maybe like
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We hung out for a couple hours. Yeah. And it was cool. Like, we'll chill. But you know, in the big, you know, entourage-y, you know, big circles of like, you know, because to me it gets clamoring. It gets like crabs in a barrel. And everybody's trying to outfun each other.
Yeah.
And I do like the digs. I do love that. Like, that's hilarious to me. But I just, yeah.
But like,
I
when we were in New Orleans for a house party, like, we all went out, and that was, but that was a work was done.
Yep.
You're in a location where that's what you're supposed to go out now.
But I drink, so I like to hang out with people that do drink.
Yeah.
And like, small circles, but I'm not always out. You know what it is? I'm not constantly chasing pussy, I guess. You know what I mean?
Like, when it all boils down to it.
Because I'm like, we working hot. If you're patient enough, it's coming.
It's here.
I got other stuff to worry about. You know what I mean? So like,
it's smart that you recognize that, because we all know people at this table that can get too wrapped up in that. And guess what, man?
We know people at this table.
People at this table know.
We at this people. Yeah.
We at this people.
We at this table. No people. Not at this table.
Why are you looking at the table and go, we all know people who are sitting at this table right now to my meat right.
Car.
Brad.
Legs aren't touching the floor. We know people.
Who could
that
be, Adam, right?
No, but like we that get so consumed in that part that you're like, there's a buddy of mine I used to have acting class with, and he just is about to get married, and he goes, A, it's the, he's like just so pumped, but B, he's like I was so wrapped up in chasing women that he was like, I didn't come out here to do that. He's like, I wasn't in class as much, and he's like, now he's like, dude, my acting's never been better because I'm not doing that.
He's on a diet.
Yeah.
He's on a cleanse. You feel better after cleanse. You feel better after cleanse. You get that shit out of your system. You can, air smells better.
Your colon feels stronger.
Oh, yeah.
What? Just me.
And everybody's got their vice, you know, and it's like, you have to have your thing to, you know, you have to have your fun, but what are you out here for?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know, I mean, like, things work out like the way it's supposed to. I mean, I go out all the time, and I'll be out, or I'll see her again, or somebody will say, oh, remember that girl was asking about you? Like, hey, I had an audition. Like, I don't have time to be half-assed. Or I got like, look, I got to shoot a special soon. I would love to have.
And that's the great thing about being busy too, but also being locked into that mentality of like, this is a special time for you where it's like, you got to take advantage. Like, you can't fuck around, you know?
I do feel like I'm under the microscope right now because shit did happen quick for me. So it's like, it's his fall is coming soon. Like, for him to slow down, it's going to happen. I'm like, well, I can't afford to let it happen.
Yeah, and you know you're on the cusp, and this is this is certainly a moment in your career where, for instance, if the show, people are talking this fall on NBC.
Nice.
If the show...
8:30 Eastern?
8:30. Yeah, if the show goes great, then okay, then it's going to lead to the next thing, or maybe contribute to movies, or maybe it's just this show that runs forever, and now you're selling out theaters on the road. Like, you know, this is kind of not a make or break moment, but it's definitely the potential of turning into something really cool. So
I mean, not even just
NBC
depending on me, or like looking at me like, oh, this guy could be, because I told him, I was like, I want to be your Will Smith, I want to be that dude. Mm-hmm. I was like, but this is also like, I need Fox to make sure that they're looking at me. I need HBO to be like, he was really good on the show, man. If it ends, or like,
go from, you want to be able to go from spot to spot, right?
I want people to go like, that's who we need. That we let's not get a guy like him.
Yeah.
Let's just get, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let's not get a Tone Bell type. Let's just go out and get Tone Bell.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and I'm more concerned. Like, I have a checklist of like things I wanted to do. And
a vision board or a checklist?
This is like a checklist.
Yeah.
I do have a vision board as well. But, nice. But I have like a, and I write down, like, I have like all these. Wait, like, once a month, I get these
vision
really
board
positive.
A new app that I'm not on?
What's no, it's not an app.
It's probably an app.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Whatever.
I don't have it, but it's probably one.
You know,
I use my notepad. But I get this, even this morning, I was standing outside waiting on my Uber because I got a little loose last night and I had to take it back to the bar to get my car.
Yeah.
But I. Getting these like once a month, man. I just like I got to remotivate myself and invigorate myself. So,
yeah.
Like, I'll just start thinking of like quotes that like make me have to keep working harder. And like,
what are some of those quotes?
Okay, here are the two I did today.
Hell yeah, man! Oh, this is the good shit.
You ready?
Inside the mind of a Tone Bell.
Here we go.
Now, if there are any of the quotes I've seen some of the girls post on Instagram, I'm going to be very upset because I saw a girlfriend of mine who's very attractive posted a picture of her washing a boat with her tits, and the quote said, "The fear of taking a chance is trumped by the hope it's going to be the last chance we'll ever have to make." And I was like, how the fuck do these two things go together?
I can't even read this because I'm looking at your tits.
Yeah. And by the way, guess what? The quote was enough. No guy's reading that quote being like, really? No tits? or seeing the picture and being like, you're not going to inspire me as you wash this boat with your tits? You get one of the
wash it with your feet. That's
like, that's inspiring.
Like,
that's talent.
Like be knitting. Knit a sweater and wash it with your feet. It's like.
While opening a can of fucking beefaroni with your tits. All right.
So that's talent.
Yeah. You get a show out of that.
Oh, so the first one, I was in the shower. I was like, having potential should be temporary.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to just have potential. Like, right. like potential is like right before you start doing this shit. So that shit should be temporary.
Yeah. You don't want to always be the guy that, like, ooh, that guy's about to do something.
Yeah.
No,
don't
you want to eventually do it.
Do it. And then potential is done. Throw potential away. Mm-hmm. You know?
So potential should have a shelf life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How long?
Like, you don't want to be like, oh, you could have been.
Yeah.
Do that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the second one is judge me or join me. Either way, make it quick. I got shit to do.
That's also what Master Splinter said to the Turtles before he walked out and beat Shredder at the end of
this last one?
Turtles 2. No, Turtles 2.
How did that sound, Adam Ray?
give me the quote again, please. What is the quote? Judge me. Wait, I remember. Judge me or join me. And if you've joined me, then you need to help me because I am old and a rat and maybe I look swift, but I'm 70, which is 160 in rat years. But anyway, I'm rambling on. Judge me or join me. So. That's a great one.
Yeah. And so I just think of these things, and I'm like.
Every day, huh?
Yeah. I mean, once a month, like, I come up. Like, I'm sure there'll be more by the end of the day, but then I'll just. Then, because I don't tweet a lot. Yeah. Then, like, then I'll just tweet it one day and just, you know, it'll make me feel better about myself.
Please, please start quoting. Please start tweeting just Jaden Smith quotes. Please just do that.
Jaden Smith is
best.
Like,
hashtag like, Tone Bell next Will Smith.
I think I'm a little too old to be the next Will Smith, but
yeah.
But a lot of my comedy does come from like his timing. I think he's great.
I was gonna say we skipped over your influences, but yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Romney Malco's a big influence on me right now.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Romney Malco. And I've only met him once, but very nice dude. Very, very like subtle, very chill. And that's why I like him, because it was like he you know when you meet those dudes who are like, no wonder why people like you and you're famous.
Yeah.
But I would want to work. He was very chill, man.
Yeah.
He was very chill.
Awesome to hear.
I went to some charity event in Park City, and I met, like, Zachary Levi, and I met Dave Walton and a couple guys from, like, just some shows. Like, Zach Levi is doing Heroes Reborn now.
Nice.
But he was on – he was Chuck.
Yeah.
And so, like – but now we talk occasionally now, and, like, he's – just up a super chill dude.
Do you ask now, being in a position of, I mean, kind of being a new kid on the block, are you like, do you ask these guys like, yo, you got any fucking advice, or do they innately just like drop it on you? Because
it depends. It depends on, like, I wait until they get the most comfortable.
Yeah.
And then I may say something that that sparks that conversation on. Like, I was with Zach, and he goes, when do you get back to LA? I go, man, I'm doing 3 more days here because I'm in New York, so I need to hit the stage a couple times here. I got to make sure I'm better than I was before I got here. And he goes, yo, man. And then he starts talking about shit that he wants to do. And, like, mm-hmm. So if he can match what I just said or something better, then we get in that mode of, like, man, we got to hook up, man. Like, you're
cool.
You know, I like how you talk.
You got to surround yourself with people that inspire you, right? And the people that work hard. I've noticed that a handful of years in being out here post-college, where it was like, yo, I can't be around people that are going to bring me down or don't want to work as hard as I do, because there's so many people out here.
Yep.
And it's so tough already. for Brad and I. But but you need to be around that energy, man. If you're not pumping yourself with quotes every morning, you got to find ways to, like you said, self-motivate.
Right.
And you can do that on your own, but also you can do that with the people you surround yourself with.
You know, my favorite time of year is when is like...
You can say, man, Hanukkah, dude. It's a great time of year. The Festival of Lights.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey. I got so many candles in my house.
How dare you.
I didn't have a menorah. My ex was Jewish. So
nice.
So
you held on to the menorah? Was that like...
No,
the...
she took it. She took it. It was up in the house.
I mean, it kind of goes with her a little more than you.
She was leaving and you broke up, you're like, girl, get out, but leave the menorah.
Leave the menorah. Did you see the picture of me? There's a picture on my Instagram of me in a yarmulke.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's dope. Yeah, it's dope.
What?
I went to my agent's son's bris.
Oh, that's all you got to say.
And I got to show you this picture.
How was that? Was that your first bris?
Yeah, my first bris. Might be my last, but it was...
Really? You don't like to go and watch someone mutilate a baby's genitals?
I was also involved.
Mutilate? Hey, they make our penises pretty as fuck, dude. Mutilate? How dare you? Mutilate? How dare you?
I mean, I don't remember mine.
It's the size of our foreskin is the size of your pants.
It's a grown... Okay, that was pretty funny.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I had to stop it.
Unroll the cuff.
Black people are always coming up with the new slang terms.
Yeah, I know, man. I do.
Circumcision, unroll the cuff.
Unroll the cuff.
Oh, my God.
That's going on Urban Dictionary.
Dude, Black Rabbi, that's your next show. And Unroll the Cuff is this fall. Unroll the Cuff with Black Rabbi. And then Tone just goes, hey, man.
Money Moyle.
Oh, my God. Wow. Quick it off and write.
Yeah.
Yo, this is Floyd Mayweather, the newest member of the money team. Money Moyle.
Money Moyle.
I needed a money
so
guy.
Funny.
It's fucking perfect.
Wow, man.
Holy shit.
This was a blast.
Yeah, and yeah, you're, doing
I listened because I'm like, yo, because I've been bugging you about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I guess recently I've been out of town. Yeah. We both been busy.
Hey, man, it happens when it's supposed to happen, and I'm glad it. We just finally got it
this
done.
This is good, man.
And also, hey, the reasons for the timing not lining up were all great reasons.
Anytime somebody
texts me back like, hey, man, like all your shit was... We got this thing. We're on set late, or I got to do these interviews for the show. I'm in New York for the upfronts, dude. It's just like, great, dude. We'll do it when you can do
fantastic.
It.
Yeah,
you know. And then you have a little moment to yourself, and you fucking are like, all right, I got to fucking get my shit going. You start crying a little bit, like you run down, you know. This is the best, dude.
Damn it.
So thanks, watch man. Tone Bell on this fall on NBC. People are talking. With Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Yeah, and Tone Bell, though.
Hey, we're looking out for my Comedy Central Half Hour coming out in the
fall. Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Want to tape that.
Congratulations on that, man.
Thanks,
do you already know your set?
No, I have not even thought about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, actually, that's where I'm going today to go look at my submission tape and pull out what I want to do.
That's
going
to be fun to put that together.
Yeah.
Good.
And also look for him on Adam's new show that he hasn't filmed yet, but he will, on Pissing and Talking with Adam Ray. Live at the urinal.
Live at the urinal.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, man.
So, that's the show. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night.
That's it, right? You got it?
Sweet.
Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.